We'll warm up with a January 18th rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. Most snowbirds looking for warm sunshine and balmy temperatures are already in Florida by now. However, some snowbirds with amateur radio call signs are just now heading to Miami to warm up. For many of them, February 1st and 2nd is the first weekend for their first stop on the 2013 HamFest calendar, the Miami HamFest. Its 2013 chair is Tom Morris, KG4CYX. Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Tom about the Miami HamFest and about HamFests in general during one of Hap's 2012 Dayton HamVention Rain Booth interviews.
What does it take to make a ham fest successful?
A lot of it depends on your community. It's one thing to have it well managed and everything, but you need the support of the community. You need to be able to bring together a lot of people with similar interests in radio, electronics, and everything. And you really need to be able to respond to changes in that community over time.
When you spend time at a gargantuan ham fest like the Dayton HamVention, how do you go back and put on a ham fest that admittedly will not be anything close to the HamVention?
Well, I think you just have to have a realistic idea of scale. You can't expect the whole world to come to your door. It depends on what your community has. Like, if it's a community where you may have maybe like 100 attendees, you can hold a fairly small event there. Or if you're expecting a huge turnout, you can scale it to that. It's just basically you have to be realistic about your expectations and what everyone will support.
Have you been going for a few years as an attendee?
Yes, I'd gone every year since 1999. As an attendee.
What are you doing differently that you feel will make this more successful than maybe what it was 10 years ago?
I've really looked at what the market is looking for and what would keep us going as kind of a unique event, because Orlando's been going strong so many years. There's, of course, Dayton right here. And you've just got to have something that will actually entice people to come down for it. It'd be a little outside of their home area. We had a lot of vendors for computer equipment and supplies. That market has kind of been filled in by a lot of online vendors, so that wouldn't be practical. What we're looking to do this year that's kind of unique is we're focusing on electronics, amateur radio communications, and alternative energy. You might see the odd vendor at a HamFest here and there selling a solar panel or two, but my background for the last couple of years, which I was working with Sun Electronics in Miami, which is a major renewable energy distributor, and I learned a lot about the solar power industry until, unfortunately, economic conditions pretty much dictated that my job could no longer exist there. But I want to open this up more, because a lot of people know what solar panels are and what they do, but they don't believe that it's an accessible means of power, and they don't believe that alternative energy is something they could realistically integrate into their operation. I want to try to get people who attend our event out of here with, even if they don't wind up buying something to run their station off the grid, just help increase awareness of this, because we're in Hurricane Alley and our power goes out. It's plain and simple.
From a vendor point of view, what are some tips you have on how not only to get them there in the first place, but to get them back every year?
I think a lot of that really depends on a number of factors. Of course, one thing that everyone will want is to have a good size audience that's interested in their products or services. But you need to be nice with your vendors, because they're really supporting you in every way, and you should do everything you can to help support them too. You shouldn't make it seem like it's troublesome to accommodate their needs. I've worked with some other events outside of amateur radio entirely, and I'd seen the results of them not being nice to their vendors, and it was, a couple of them were kind of messy. This was just like a couple of all crazy things to have come from background in working with some anime convention, which is basically the Japanese style of animation and essentially like Japanese cartoons based around the fans of that.
You're listening to the 2013 Miami HamFest chair, Tom Morris, KG4CYX, speaking with Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, about what makes HamFests successful.
How important are prizes?
I think prizes are very important for a couple of reasons, really. I mean, of course, they're going to entice more people to stick around for, you know, to come to your event because they realize they're entering for a chance to win something. The prize drawings, I think, it would be good to have them throughout the event so that there's actually some incentive for everyone to stick around. I noticed here that the vendors, when they donate prizes, they actually receive quite a bit of recognition for it, which is great for them, like for marketing purposes, too.
You have any kind of provisions at all for folks with disabilities?
Oh, definitely. We're working to ensure that the facility is very accessible and that accommodations can be made for anything. Like, I was actually, this kind of like dawned on me in the middle of the night, like if we're presenting a technical forum, for instance, I was thinking, man, you know, looking at it in retrospect, I never remembered there being, for instance, a signer available for the event. So I think that's something that, whether that's provided by a volunteer who can speak American Sign Language, that'd be something that may come up as being very beneficial.
How about forums? How important are those?
They're definitely very important because it's a great way to expand the horizons a bit. For instance, one I did for the Dade Radio Club at one of our local meetings on solar energy, it really helped explain a lot of it to our attendees who now they no longer would see this as something inaccessible. Now they see, oh yeah, it's practical. We can just add that in and then we're ready to power everything for weeks instead of having to depend on generators and charging up batteries and everything.
What will the ticket price be?
$10 in advance and $12 at the door. February 1st and 2nd, 2013. The Friday and the Saturday.
Do you have any alternate activities planned? Any other activities for non-hams?
We're working on planning some alternate activities as well. And in past years, we did have some. I don't honestly remember off the top of my head what they were because I was usually burying my nose in old dusty piles of things in the flea market area.
How has amateur radio affected or influenced your career, if at all?
I think it made it. Literally, it helped me get into everything I'm doing now, and I certainly wouldn't be here as in the Dayton Hamvention if not for it, but I don't think I would have had the connections I have in life, and I wouldn't have really had an outlet for most of what I've been doing.
Miami Hamfest 2013 Chair Tom Morris, KG4CYX, speaking with Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, in the Rain booth at the 2012 Dayton Hamvention. If you're going to spend time in the Miami area the weekend of February 1st and 2nd, drop by the Miami Hamfest and say hi to Tom. You'll win absolutely nothing, but say hi to him anyway. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2013 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for everyone connected with the Rain Report, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.